I'm Glenn Mays with University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences College of Public Health. I'm a professor of health policy and management there. I talked to you about an innovative demonstration program for long-term care implemented in Arkansas over the last 5 years, using community health workers in an attempt to try to improve access to community-based long-term care. I want to acknowledge my co-authors and colleagues in this effort. Really has been a collaborative work between our university faculty, the community-based organization that has really led in designing and implementing this intervention, and also our state Medicaid agency and other officials. In particular, Holly Felix and Kate Stewart are faculty with me in the College of Public Health. Ms. Naomi Cottoms is Executive Director of Tri-County Rural Health Network in Eastern Arkansas, and she's actually here with me today. She really is the brains behind designing, implementing this intervention, and along with her colleague Mary Olson, also affiliated with Tri-County. Nothing to disclose, no financial relationships, although I do want to acknowledge funding initially for this program from the Robert Johnson Foundation and also the Enterprise Corporation of the Delta, and importantly as well matching funding from the Arkansas Department of Human Services, our Medicaid agency. Again, Tri-County Rural Health Network is a community-based organization that was involved in designing and implementing this intervention. And we also acknowledge our state agency for providing Medicaid administrative claims files needed for this analysis. So the rationale for the study is that we know that there are lots of challenges and opportunities associated with home and community-based long-term care services. We know that consumers prefer to receive long-term supports in home and community-based settings where that's possible. We also know that there are legal reasons. Court rulings, the Supreme Court's Olmstead decision says states must offer these services in the least restrictive settings possible. So there are reasons, consumer-oriented and legal reasons why states have worked to expand access to non-institutional long-term care. The challenge is that we also hope to see perhaps some cost advantages and cost savings associated with shifting, rebalancing our portfolio of spending in long-term care toward home and community-based services. The problem has been many states have found difficulty in actually finding evidence of cost savings associated with expanding access to home and community-based care. The problem is that these expansions in home and community-based services can be quite costly when overall use of these services increases beyond just the population of recipients who are truly at risk of nursing home entry. And that often happens. That's the woodwork effect that's been written lots about over the decades. But also just a problem with targeting. How can we find the people who are actually at risk of entering nursing homes and target these services to them so that we have a chance of actually avoiding the need for institutional care and really substituting home and community-based supports for institutional care? That's what's needed to realize cost savings, and it's been challenging for many states to do that. You really need targeting mechanisms, ways of finding, of getting these home and community supports to the people most at risk of entering nursing home care. That's challenging. Targeting is very challenging, especially in rural and underserved areas like much of Arkansas, where there may be limited financial and geographic access to these kinds of services, low literacy rates that contribute to lack of awareness about home and community-based alternatives, lack of awareness about where to go to get these services. Also, in many states, there are health disparities and issues that linger and that complicate the service delivery patterns you see here. In Arkansas and many other states, we do have a history of segregation and bias and mistrust that complicates this issue of trying to match people to services. And this slide shows we do have disparities in rates of nursing home use in Arkansas, with a higher rates of nursing home use among African Americans, even higher than the national disparity that we see there, perhaps suggesting that we've also got disparities in targeting home and community-based services and supports to these populations. So this program, the Community Connector program, was a three-year demonstration program targeted at three rural underserved counties in our Arkansas-Mississippi Delta region. This is the poorest region of the U.S., the highest poverty rates in the U.S., lowest life expectancies, lots of challenges here. It's a rural, predominantly African-American, low socioeconomic status population. The program targets Medicaid-eligible elders and adults with physical disabilities. And the program uses lay health workers, community health workers, to identify people, community dwelling elders and adults with physical disabilities who have unmet needs for long-term care, with the logic being if we can find these people ahead of time before events that put them into institutional settings, then we have a chance of actually targeting these services and reducing the need, reducing nursing home entry. You can see those three counties there. In the triangles there. Our objective of the study was to determine the impact of this program on Medicaid expenditures for elderly and disabled recipients eligible for long-term care. Medicaid, our state Medicaid agency as a funder, was primarily interested in whether we could show cost neutrality to Medicaid as a rationale for continuing or maybe even expanding this program. So we wanted to know whether this program could be cost neutral to Medicaid after accounting for both Medicaid expenditures as well as the cost needed to actually implement this program. Our design was a quasi-experimental research design, not a randomized controlled trial. We used a three-year demonstration period, plus there was an additional year of operation, an extension that the state granted for allow the program to operate for an additional year under this authority. We measured expenditures for both the program participants. We followed them using Medicaid claims data 1 year prior to their participation in the program, and then up to 3 years following their participation in this program. So we have a pre-post design on that side. Then we also constructed a statistically matched comparison group of Medicaid recipients who are not served by this program, so that we are trying to approximate to the extent possible kind of the contrast that you see in a controlled experiment. And we use difference and difference estimation techniques to estimate the impact of this program on spending and costs while controlling for time-varying covariates that might otherwise confound the differences in utilization and spending that we see. That comparison group I talked about, that statistically matched comparison group, we drew from those participants from a five-county region in the same general geographic area of the program demonstration area, and these are counties that have very similar demographic characteristics and health resources characteristics, rural underserved populations. We matched with it. We used those five counties and selected individual people within those counties using a propensity score matching technique that matched each person to a program participant based on age, gender, race, eligibility category, enrollment duration in Medicaid, waiver enrollment status, comorbidities using claims data, and prior year spending. So we tried to match on all the relevant potential factors that could be prior differences and confounders between our participant group and our comparison group. The slide shows you the overall numbers of people served in the program, and we operated again for 4 years, and across that 4 year period, total of about a little over 2,000 people were served by the program. We had to take those people and then link them to Medicaid, their Medicaid claims data using identifiers, and we were able to link about two-thirds of those people, find their Medicaid claims data in the study, and it's really the subset of group of participants for whom we have linked Medicaid claims data that we study here. This slide shows just the overall design of the study over time. We've got cohorts coming in the program in each of the 4 years. We go back 1 year in time to get their pre-participation levels of utilization and spending, and then follow them for up to 3 years after the program. It shows you that propensity score matching technique to identify the comparison group. And what you want to see here in looking at the distribution of the propensity score is an evenly distributed propensity score in both the participation group and the comparison group. And you see here we did get a very tight match between our participation group and our comparison group. Baseline characteristics of our study, you can see overall mean age of 66 years of age in both groups. Predominantly female, predominantly African American. You can see that the matching technique that gave us worked pretty well in terms of balancing across these different covariates in both our participation group and our comparison group, with the exception being still a little bit of residual imbalance in terms of Quimby status, a little bit higher Quimby status in the participation group as opposed to the comparison group, and also a little bit of residual difference in prior year Medicaid spending, higher levels of prior year spending in our demonstration group or our participation group compared to our comparison group. So a little bit of residual differences there even after doing this matching. So we use multivariate adjustment to handle that. This slide kind of shows you, summarizes measures of service use and spending after program implementation. We can see overall we see slightly higher levels of inpatient utilization in the comparison group compared to the intervention group. slightly higher levels, but not significant, of outpatient medical utilization in the patient group compared to the comparison group. The most striking differences we see is in nursing home utilization and in home and community-based services utilization, as you would expect. Significantly higher nursing home utilization and expenditures in the comparison group compared to the participation group, and conversely, significantly higher rates of utilization of home and community-based services and higher spending on those services in the program participation group compared to the comparison group. When we do the multivariate adjustments and the difference in difference estimation, this shows you basically our estimates of program impact on spending. And we did these estimates by year to look at to allow the program effects to vary across years. And you see, 1 year after program implementation, we found about a 6% decline in spending, or 6% lower spending in the treatment group compared to the comparison group. That was not statistically significant in the first year, but by years two and years three, we saw that effect grow larger and became statistically significant in those. Last 2 years of this evaluation. So what does that look like? This shows you the average effect, the average of spending levels, the average multivariate adjusted spending levels in the comparison group and the treatment group. And you can see overall we started at baseline, still a little bit of a bias here with higher baseline spending in the participant group. That average spending level comes down in year one and comes down more sharply in year two and is maintained in year three. Conversely, in the comparison group, we did see escalation in spending, most of that attributable to nursing home utilization, especially in years two. That moderates a bit in year three, in part because we saw some slightly higher rates of mortality in the comparison group compared to the intervention group in that third year. So perhaps the mortality censoring in that third year that may be moderating that cost difference a bit. So what does that look like in terms of the cost neutrality calculations or return on investment calculations for the state Medicaid agency? Again, the combined total estimated spending reductions associated with this program was about $3.5 million. It cost just under $900,000 to operate the program, the CCC program, over this period of time, resulting in net savings about $2.6 million, or a return on investment of about almost $3 for every dollar that the state Medicaid program invested in this demonstration agency. So the conclusions here, the program appears to be actually cost neutral or even cost saving to Medicaid within 2 years of implementation. And the reductions persist at least for the 3.5 years on average that we were able to follow throughout this demonstration period. Longer run spending effects are unknown. We have not, our evaluation has not carried out beyond this initial three and a half year period so far. But the initial results suggest that this community connector program and the community health worker model appears to be an effective mechanism for targeting home and community-based services to people at risk of nursing home entry, and thereby that targeting mechanism appears to explain the cost profile that we see here. Again, the limitations here, we're only able to link Medicaid claims data to about 63% of the program participants, and so we do have some uncertainties there about other third of the population that we're not able to track in terms of costs. We did not see much evidence of a kind of a woodwork effect here in terms of increased Medicaid enrollment that had to theoretically could moderate any cost savings, but we didn't see any strong evidence of a strong Medicaid enrollment effect associated with this program. And importantly, we're not measuring lots of other potential effects of the program in this analysis. We're just looking at the raw dollars and numbers impact on Medicaid spending. We don't know what effect this may be having, spillover effects on Medicare spending. We don't yet know, have any rigorous measure of impact on health and physical functioning, quality of life, caregiver burden, and ultimately workforce and economic effects of the community health worker program that's providing jobs and an economic ladder for this region. So those are additional endpoints that we want to study in future work. And again, if you want to know details about how this program actually operates and works, we have the expert in the audience, and Ms. Naomi Cottoms. I encourage you to talk with her after the session if you'd like more details.